Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. It's also a Palm Sunday today. I'm Linda Irwin here with Tony Jorgensen and Lynn Bleasdale, and we're going to see you in our dreams. Now, what does that mean? Seeing us in our dreams is not necessarily that it's mind movie, but maybe we actually visit with people on the other side. Or maybe we travel somewhere in this physical dimension and see people, go places, do wonderful things. Astral travel is what I consider a nice way to get around when you're laying there and you're otherwise going to be staring at the backs of your eyelids while you sleep. How boring is that? You need to get out and do fun things while you're out there. Make connections with those on the other side. It's a great way to do it. All you have to do is set your intention. Setting your intention and believing you can do it. You will be allowed to meet up with other people here in the physical dimension who are also astral traveling. Or perhaps you'll meet with those on the other side, or maybe you'll all get together and have a big party, as I often do. So what are your astral travels? Excuse me. Be sure to call into 1-646-564-9868. That's 646-564-9868 to share about any experiences you have, questions about it, or if you just need other questions answered in your life. Lynn, you had an amazing story where we met one time. You want to share that?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We had just, I hadn't known each other that long, I don't think. But we'd met on the James von Prague community site. And I had a little upholstery business that was going on, and I had all these fabric scraps lying around. And I walked out into the workshop, and there you were. And now this was while my body was sleeping, but this is as real gets. And I walked out, and there you were. You were going through the fabric samples, going, "Oh, that's nice, that's nice." And I was also trying to tune in a radio station, and you told me after that it was like symbolic of my attempt to tune into the astral. But anyway, your parents were with you, but they had gone on to do some other, it was a visit or a task or something. They were doing their work on the other side. So you had dropped in. And it's funny because time is different on the other side, and yet it felt like you were waiting until they'd finished what they were doing and you were going to carry on with them. But anyway, you took, my brother came and as well in the astral, and you took us through these amazing woods and like trees unlike I'd ever seen before. And you took us down to a place where there were these beautiful houses. Nobody was around, and there was a lake, and you jumped in. You just went run, 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 jump. And I was freaking because I thought, you know, like you don't just jump into water. You don't know, there could be rocks, whatever. And you laughed your head off at me and said, "Don't worry, you can't get hurt." And the cool thing too, I jumped in too and found it was a completely different experience from a physical water experience. But you came out, I came out, we were immediately dry. And then the people that were inhabiting these, and I say inhabiting rather than living because they weren't in the physical, but these people came and they, I got scared and I thought, "Oh my God, we're going to get caught for trespassing." And again, if you weren't mean laughing, you were just sort of going, "Don't worry about it. It's no problem." And they came up and they came up and they handed us yellow and white flowers. And it was like that you could feel the love just pouring out. And I've had several actually with you. And the other was when we were at Morningstar County. There was like a bandstand and music and coffee. I remember there was coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the music was just like everybody could play if they wanted to. It was like not an exclusive sort of thing. And the other, well, actually, I did find that email talking about another on the Cinco de Mayo, but the another one that really stood out was Ryan, the drunken spaceship driver.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. So So we were at a party. There was another place in Morningstar County, this beautiful cabin. And we all were just sort of partying. And Ryan Kirchhoff, that's the guy's name. And he was flying. But there was also it was just like the way like the snowbirds in Canada fly over events and stuff like that. It was just, they were just doing it for the fun of it, and they were flying in formation, and I could see the starships or the spaceships from below, and it was absolutely awe-inspiring. I could see them going over. They made no sound, and it was just kind of a display they were doing. They were doing it kind of for the fun and doing it for the party. But then I found an email last week that I had sent to another friend talking about how I'm learning a lot on the JVP site, and we joined a bunch of people for the Cinco de Mayo celebration, and we had astral traveled. I'd forgotten all about it, and we had cinnamon ice cream. Anyway, that's a lot, and I'm still trying to sort of do it, do it with control, like kind of be able to astral project at will, but so far I'm not getting there yet, but I haven't given up. And just before I turn it over to Tony, I've been watching a thing, Surviving Death. It's on Netflix, and I've been watching a lot of NDE videos, like people having near-death experiences, and that they're astral projecting when they're out of their bodies, like watching surgeons work on them or watching their bodies in whatever situation they're in. I mean, that is astral projection there. They're just not joined to the physical. It's quite something. And I think we all have the capability of doing it, but I think fear holds us back a lot. Cause like, yeah, you know, we often think we are our bodies, but we're in these flesh machines that are miraculous in their own right, but they're still not the permanent vehicle. Boy, I felt like I was babbling a lot, but I hope that made some sense.
No, it was good. It was
Oh, Linda's, knowing Linda has just blown my course, like just taken me on a completely different path. And I'm really, really grateful. Yeah. Tony, how about you? You go gambling.
Well, me too. Yeah, Linda has done the same for me, which is crazy. And this was not too long ago, like just a couple of months ago. I think it was before last year. I think it was last year, right? Right before the holidays. Right? Somewhere around there before Thanksgiving, all of that.
Right.
Way before that. Might have been like 6 months ago. We were traveling again. I think we were in Idaho, though, because I can't buy lottery tickets in Utah. So we were definitely either in Idaho or Wyoming, somewhere around here, you know, where we live. But she was – and Linda, you know what I forgot? I just remembered this the other day because we were – because I was reading what – I read what the topic was this week. Thank you, Tony. It's about time that you do that. But I remembered that. Do you remember the little green men or the green things that were there at all?
Yeah, they were extraterrestrial.
And I thought, I remember mentioning, wow, I feel like I'm in a Men in Black movie. So I remembered that. And I remember they had a cowboy hat on with a holsters, like a gun holster, like they were making fun of us or something. Yeah, and we were at a cowboy bar at one point. And then my friend from school was also with us, Lori, because we were buying lottery tickets at the C-store. And then we ended up at a bar, but we had a really fun time. There was a band there, and I don't know if the band was aliens, but I remember the green guys. They were funny, really funny.
Well, they appeared green because that's what a lot of people expect them to look like.
Oh, is that why? Yeah, I was wondering, because they looked exactly like you would see something on Men in Black, like a green, you know, something they had. And yeah, we bought lottery tickets. We traveled around a lot, but that's not the only time I've been with Linda. I've just been another time I feel that her and I were just sailing through the sky like Peter Pan. I felt like that mm-hmm. one time on that ship. And several times I've met you over the last yep. couple of months. Yep. But, and I really feel the best after I've traveled. Do you guys feel that way? I feel really enlightened and really sharp the next day, like the whole week, I feel. Like,
refreshed,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, different than I feel when I'm here on Earth, for sure. But
Earth energy is very dense, right? It's,
yeah.
it's almost
right.
like the way, yeah, you know, when you're trying to run through water, if you're swimming and you try to run in the water, it's got that resistance. But
yeah.
the astral, there's no impedance. And you're it literally a thought. You travel by the thought. And
mm-hmm.
That's quicker. That the human mind has trouble wrapping around that concept because we're used
right.
to the speed that we travel here. But it literally is you move at the speed of thought. And that the interesting thing about your little green dudes is
yeah.
I was reading Seth Speaks, I think it is, one of the Seth books. And he talks about mm-hmm. greeting someone who had crossed and actually assuming the form of the thing he thought he was going to meet. So this guy lived by the sword. This human being kind of was a violent mm-hmm. and expected that when he got to the other side, he was going to go to what you might call hell. And so Seth and another being, they transformed themselves into... Was it Moses and the sort of the Islam version of Moses? I can't remember what the guy's name is. And they put on a war because this is what this guy expected. Very much like Astral City, when the guy goes to that very dark, scary
right.
place. But
yeah,
so it can be, you know, if you're expecting bad, scary things, it may be what you end up astral projecting into, but it isn't.
Yeah,
yeah, it isn't
well,
a permanent
thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was. Yeah,
thought
go ahead,
is thing. If you build it, that's what you're going to experience.
Yeah,
right. It's. Do you think it's hard? It's hard to travel sometimes. You have to really, when you get ready to go to sleep or just. You know, try to get into it. You have to really clear your mind, which is really hard to do.
Yep, it is. Good on you,
it helps to clear the body too. Just go into
yeah,
such a relaxed state. You just feel light even before you go to sleep. You just lay there and everything is totally relaxed, sort of like a meditation.
Yeah.
Everything, and just let go. Quietly
yeah.
let go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could do it more because it feels amazing when you do that, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get there, Tony, because we, you know,
yeah.
in terms of being students of this thing, we're just babies. We're in kindergarten, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The more I realize, the more I learn about the metaphysical and the spiritual aspects of this thing we're in. The more I realize I don't know, you know, so we're on a learning journey.
Well, I can tell you this much. My first two husbands, if you touch my hand when I'm sleeping, you're gone with me. That's all there is to it. My first husband
awesome.
Said when he came back the next day, he said, you taught me how to be a ghost.
Oh,
and then my
That's
second
awesome.
Husband touched me while I was asleep and later told me I'd taken him to strange new worlds and universes. So, yeah, if
wow.
you're there near me and you touch me and I'm out, you're coming with me.
That's fabulous.
That's awesome.
But again, it's like if a little kid takes, like say you want a kid to be a dancer and you start them when they're like 3 or 4 years old and you were raised in a metaphysically nurturing environment, like you were never told it was woo-woo or weird. You were never accused of being crazy for the things you knew. So that's very cool. Like, what a blessing that you got to just, you know, go grow up in that milieu, you know.
Well, I planned it that way, you know.
Yeah.
From yeah.
The side, me and my mom and dad planned it in advance, so.
Yeah. No, it's a remarkable family, and I think we're going to have more family energy like that, because more and more people are coming in to help, I think, aren't they? They're coming in as helping souls and light, souls bringing light.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, and actually, I didn't used to talk to people a lot. Not, you know, you give that, you got that feeling, don't give people more information than they can handle. Right. So I didn't talk to people a lot unless I trusted them, you know, which is why the James von Prague community was such a beautiful dive into something wonderful, because nobody thought you were nuts. Everybody was on the same page that way. And that's when I first stopped being nervous about sharing it. Like, there's still people I don't talk about this with because I know it'll upset them. So I don't bother, but hope that they find it somehow.
Yeah,
I don't talk about it to my neighbors. I wonder sometimes if I'm astraling, they see me out. Little kids and animals always see me when I'm out astraling.
Oh, that's
I'm
wonderful.
Sure.
I think
I know.
Sure,
little
yeah.
Boy that's tugging at his mom. Go look at the lady. Look at the lady. And she turned around and looked. I don't see anyone.
Yeah. Oh,
So the UFO work, the ET, you know. That kind of metaphysical work. I think, you know, you got some unwanted attention, right, from the Black Van guys at one point just because of that.
Uh-huh.
And, like, they want to, sometimes they don't like people doing that, you know, and it can get you, you know. I hope they're not still bugging you, though, you know.
No, that was good. I went out, well, it started out, I noticed them out the front door, parked in front of my place, and then when I walked out onto the deck, they moved a few houses down, and I walked to the end of the driveway, and then they just kept going, and I've never seen them again. So
that's good. You're peeking around corners at you. Oh, God. Well, again, that kind of work scares some people. It really does. It scares some institutions. So I don't know. They still won't let people into Area 51 because, like, what are they hiding, right? Or did they ever open it up?
I went to the astral there, see what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe as a species, we're just too young to be able to handle it, you know?
Make contact with a lot of people individually. I mean, coast to coast, they have a lot of people that call in that have relationships with them. So.
Mm-hmm. I think they just have to be very careful because they realize that, you know, danger, danger. It could be somebody who's got a hate or a fear, you know, they don't want to know. We were just talking about that with someone about the five sensory humans, and that's about it. You know, they limit themselves to perceiving the world, the universe, through the five senses. And that's what they're doing. That's their contract right now, I guess, too. But I can't imagine not reaching beyond the physical or the 3D world we're in. It just don't make no sense to me. So, do you guys want to go to callers? I think we've got Nikki. I think it's Nikki. Let me just, I don't want to make people wait. We can, is that Nikki?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Nikki.
Hi. Yeah, we just recognized your number. So we've, we thought we'd stop making you wait and see what we can, we know, like, you're having a rough time, Nikki. So do you want to talk a little bit about what you're going through?
Trent, my son, passed away March 6th. And my dad passed away February 22nd. Man. And I miss them both so much. And they both promised that they would, you know, come back and give me a sign that they're okay. And So I'm questioning a lot because I haven't really got that sign, you know, that they're okay, they're around. And I guess the whole spiritual thing is really, I don't know if it's just because I'm angry or if I'm just so desperately sad that I'm not seeing a lot from the spirit world anymore. I don't know.
You don't have to know right now, Nikki. The main thing is you're sensing that it's your own, the intensity of your grief is what may be for making a block, right? I think what Linda said it very well. That the sense of time here and the sense of time where they are is it's two different things, right? So it feels like it's taking a long time for, you know, for you.
It does.
But see, don't forget, it's, oh, you know, maybe, if you don't mind, Linda, if I turn this over to you, you may be able to explain it better.
Oh, sure. Well, what happens when we get to the other side is if we're metaphysically aware before we get there, things will move a lot faster because we already have an understanding of who we are as spirit. But if we don't, then it becomes a shock. There's some people that believe that you wake up on judgment day sometime in the future, and when they get over there, it's not like that at all, and they're surprised. And so they have to relearn how to be spirit again. And that takes a little bit of time as far as we are concerned, as far as we understand it. And they may have to do a lot of healing emotionally, physically, like I was messaging you about Jane. She had a lot of dysfunctional relationships in her life with family and others. She had a lot of physical health issues. Sometimes people with severe physical health issues are holding on to that sensation when they when they pass over, and they have to reheal from that. They have to be able to let go of what was going on in their physical life. So they literally have to heal. And Astral City, the movie, does point that out about people that came over injured, very ill, died from their injuries or illness. And they were still feeling like, they were still appearing like they had those illnesses and injuries, and they needed to be energy healed from those. They needed to come to terms with their spirit is not the body they were just in. So that can take a little bit of time, too, as we perceive it. There are many different factors as far as when we get over there, what happens to us, how it goes. And it may take a while before they are whole in their spirit and who they are, that they're not attached to the things that they had here. They're not that anymore before they can realize, hey, I'm free. Or as my dad said at 5 o'clock the morning after he passed, you are now free to roam about the cabin. So then they can begin to make contact with you. But the thing in the contact is you have to let go a little bit and allow it to happen. It may come as quite a surprise. It may be something you hear on the radio or the TV, a phrase that sounds like something they said. Or you may see a particular animal, bird. Actually, dragonflies are very much messenger from the spirit. Different flowers, feathers, all kinds of things that will appear. Maybe just a certain sunset. If you ever shared a sunset with somebody and it comes back again, or a rainbow in the sky. There are many ways they can manifest that. They can touch you while you're sleeping at night. You can feel them hug you. Sometimes you will hear their voice in your head. Sometimes you'll feel a light touch, a light kiss on your cheek. There are so many different ways that they can contact you. But it takes time for them to become back to who they are and then come back to you. And I know it seems like a long time for some people. Like I was telling you in the message, it took Jane a year. But Jane had a lot of healing to do, a lot. The way she passed was pretty bad, really. I believe, and from what I understand, it was a diabetic coma. So she had been fighting type 1 diabetes since she was 12. So 50-some years of dealing with that, and it was kind of ingrained in her that that's who she was. And she had to let go of all that. She's not that anymore. So sometimes it's very traumatic passings.
Yeah.
I didn't mean
go
to
ahead.
Interrupt. My husband got a visitation from his uncle, who was more like his dad, and he showed up in like what he looked like in life, just like a bright light behind him, and told him everything's okay, and I just have to go for a little while. And why do some people get to see their loved ones after they pass and other people don't?
Well, then,
you know,
there
like
again, the relationship thing, who they had and how long it's going to take before they can see that person. Some people are more open than others, too. Now, in my case, I had a brother-in-law that passed, and he was killed in a motorcycle accident. And he needed to get a message to me to get to Debbie, his wife. Debbie was not getting any from him. So he came to me and showed me that he had actually been injured very badly down the whole right side of his body. The police report was wrongly stating it was the left side. And Debbie found out from the coroner it was the right side, but she didn't say anything. And I passed the message along to Debbie to let her know they had it wrong. And she said, oh, you're right. So she was kind of amazed that I got the message. But it just depends. I'm open all the time. I walk life open. That's just the way I am. I accept all messages from all people on the other side. And Debbie, not so much because she was in grief at that time. So she was kind of blocked off. If you're in extreme grief, you can be blocked off from receiving the messages because you're consumed with that. There's no room for anything to come in. So it's just a variety of factors that can take place that determine whether or not you get a message or not and how soon you get the message.
Okay. Right after I got the message that Trent was going to die from the hospice people, I, like, in my head felt like I was tearing my body apart, and I actually felt it in my chest. I know that sounds crazy and weird, but I felt like I just ripped my chest apart. Like, it was, I was wanting to go with him. I'm sorry.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
They don't want you to feel that way, though.
Yeah. I want to add a few notes that have come in for Nikki, if I may. Okay, so, Nikki, they're reminding you, like, no matter how prepared you think you are for the death of a loved one, you never are. So you knew intellectually that Trent didn't have a long time span on the earth. But as you say, it makes your heart explode, basically. You feel torn apart. That's a normal aspect of grief. It's pain. You're in pain from loss. That won't last forever, I promise you. No matter how permanent it feels right now, it will pass. It will change. Grief changes. And again, they're talking about expectations. So be very, very careful. Observe what your expectations are, because as the Buddhists tell us, that very often attachment to outcome creates the suffering, right? So let go of the control of it a bit, because, you know, no matter how much you want to sort of insist that those signs come through, it might be a matter of growth that you need to achieve in order to be open to see those signs. They're often so subtle, you know, they can be so subtle, like because you're in so much grief, you may not notice that feather, that coin, that, as Linda said, those songs you'll get, or you'll see things. I know James von Prague saw a license plate that spoke to him and blew his mind. It was like exactly the word his loved one was going to say, you know, when they crossed. And the other thing they wrote down here is you must not blame. Like, I think a lot of this, you're still coming down on yourself really hard. You're actually getting mad at yourself for being sad. And you know what? Those feelings are perfect. No matter how angry or sad you feel, you're allowed to have those feelings, and don't worry, they won't be there forever. So let them have their way. Let yourself feel what you're feeling. It hurts, and there's just no getting around it. But once you can get through that, that sort of pain part of the grief. And I know it's easy for me to say this, and it's not so hard, you know, to say it as it is to sort of practice that, letting your grief unroll as it needs to. But I don't think anybody on this panel has not been through that, you know.
No.
We've all been there. No human gets through it, you know, without the pain, you know. Grief is the price of love, right? Yeah. I'll just read this little passage for you again. It's up on my wall. It's for another friend that is on the other side. Grief never ends, but it changes. It's a passage and not a place to stay. Grief is not a sign of weakness, nor is it a lack of faith. It is the price of love. So, and just remember, again, it often is love has no place. That love you have for Trent, which you'll never lose, but it has no place to go right now. You know, Tony, do you want to throw some thoughts at
yeah.
you?
I just have one thought that when my father passed, which is definitely not like losing a son, but he didn't contact me. He went through a friend of mine, and actually, when Lynn was doing a reading for my friend, is when he came through. He wasn't able to contact me yet because he had work to do. I think possibly also about Trent, you know, he's discovering his new way because his way was different here on Earth. And I think, you know, honestly, he's doing great. I think it's kind of like what Jess talked about Jaden, because I don't think she heard from him right away either. But I think it's a new way of life for them. I mean, it's not life, but it's a new way for them. And they're not in pain, and they're not, they don't have any illness and all the suffering that they did. They don't have that. And I think they're just experiencing, feeling that for a while before they contact people. It could be that, you know, that way too. But my dad took a while to do that, to contact. And I still haven't heard from him. I know he's doing okay because I've heard from other people. My mom, she contacted me right away, but I actually was with her and I saw her cross over right away. But now I'm not. She hasn't contacted me in a while. So I think with my mom, she was actually hanging out here for a while before she did cross over. You know, so I think it depends on the person. And what they're, you know, what they have to do, maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to hear from him pretty soon, you know, because I know Jess, it took a while for her to get over the grief before she could actually see Jaden or speak to him too. Because grief is really hard. Like, you know, you just don't know what to do with yourself. I know I've been there. It's going to be a year for my mom at the end of April, and I still am like wanting to call her, I work at the place that she passed away, and it's like I think I'm just working there because I'm so close. I feel so close to her there, you know. So it makes a lot of sense. It's a horrible thing. No, I'm sorry too. It's a horrible thing to have to go through. You know,
this is terrible that we even are going through it. Like, why do we choose to do this? You know, I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I think you're doing pretty good. I think you're doing better than you think. You're pretty strong.
Really?
You just don't feel, you just don't feel like it right now. You just don't feel like
really
you are.
Don't.
But I feel like you're. You know, you're still here every day, so you got to give yourself
some
credit.
True.
Yep.
That's true, because not even, you know, when Trent was a baby, if anything were to happen to him, I would have just said, I'm done, and left.
Yeah. I think what you have to put in your mind is also that it's easy to choose the other thing. It's harder to stay here. So you're doing a great job.
I
old
have a
school.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, it's easier to just check out, but
yeah.
You're doing good.
Yeah, I have a theory about why we go through this.
Okay,
we are experiencing all aspects of living in a physical dimension, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. And I think when we have to feel the pain to the depth we feel it, it gives us a higher compassion level. And that vibration goes out into the planet. That goes out to the world. I think when we have to experience deep pain, we get an understanding of, as a human species, we do not want to cause this kind of pain to anyone else. So I think that's why
that's
we experience
true.
It on visceral level.
I know it changed my husband. He's completely different than he used to be. I'm proud of him. Well, he used to be very impatient and get really upset with me and stuff, and now he's the opposite, where he's very patient with me and compassionate and is letting me just go through it and supporting me, and he could have never done that before. You know, before my son passed, he wasn't as compassionate.
Does anybody else get the feeling that I'm getting that in itself is a sign from Trent?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
It's the first thing that I thought of. Yeah,
yeah.
That I felt.
So if you think about it this way, Nikki, Trent is actually influencing the personality of your husband. It's kind of like channeling, I think, but he's certainly part of this change. And I can't also shape the feeling that Trent is like, he's got like a 360-degree view. I think he's like not ignoring you, but he's so busy, like he's so excited to be whole again. He's so excited.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I think he's like playing and enjoying and just having a bit of joy at the release from the body that was a prison for him for so long.
Yeah.
It's hard because you can't see, you can't physically like look and go, there he is. But that's what our show is about today, is astral projection, right? And if you can just find a way to quiet the heart and the mind and ask, like what Linda always tells me is set your intention. I'm still like very, I'm a puny human and I'm working at it. I can't always bring it around, but I know what she means. Set the intention and you will meet him. He can come to you in dream state, but don't forget, I just want to remind you that what seems like a long time for us is, there's no time. Do you get Netflix? Is that a station you get, a channel you get?
Do I what?
Do you have Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I tried to do that last night and the night before, but I keep on having nightmares. Weird, crazy nightmares. Like, I thought I saw my dad, but it was like a split second, and then I went into another nightmare.
Okay, nothing to be afraid of there. That's what we were talking about, is that we project our fears into these situations. It's like the water, diving into the water that I was telling you about. You can't be hurt, okay? You're in a whole other, I don't even know the word for it, dimension? Is that
dimension,
reasonable?
Yeah.
And you can create.
Okay, so
yeah,
I'm creating that for my negative feelings?
Yeah, but it's not because you're a bad person or anything. It's like you have
failed.
No,
it's fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fear. You have fear. That's when those things come up.
It's normal.
Recognize them as fear, accept it, own it, and let it go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And again, don't blame yourself. This is something they were putting a message through here, is that you tend to think that you're doing something bad or wrong. You're not, Nikki.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything wrong.
I do a lot.
Well, remember we talked about that critical voice in your head and giving it a name and telling it to bugger off, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not always your voice, right? It's the voices of everybody who's criticized you or told you you're not good enough or whatever enough, you know? And that's just, that stuff, that's garbage for the soul. You don't need to keep that stuff. Find your authentic voice. And that's the voice that will communicate with your loved ones on the other side, you know?
I just got a name for your inner critic. I don't know if you'll like it or not. Bixby. I don't know where that came from.
Bixby, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why? What does Bixby mean something for you?
So, yeah, I just got a new phone, and it's like Alexa, but they call it Bixby, and it really annoys me.
Oh, that's crazy.
Okay. Yeah,
there you go.
Every time like I try to take a screenshot or do anything on this new phone, this Bixby thing pops up. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm yelling at the phone. I'm like, stop it.
That's hilarious. There you go.
Good job, Lynn.
Yeah. That's funny.
That is crazy.
Well, that you see that the power's within you, right? So again, it's your thoughts and recognizing the fear, because when you project that fear, that's what comes back at you. We do create the reality with our thoughts. So
I thought that maybe that I created transvest by feeling tired or something, because I had to, I yelled at myself when I got tired. I actually would yell at myself, like, he deserves better, stop it, you know?
Would you talk to a friend that way?
No.
You talk to yourself in a way that you would never talk to another person. So you need to give yourself that same kindness and love that you give other people. Empaths get into that trouble all the time. Right?
Okay.
Yes, we do.
You're not alone. But I just wanted to suggest that if you can, there's a show I'm rewatching here, Surviving Death. It's on Netflix.
Seen that, actually. It's amazing. And I always thought, because I've had a couple near-death experiences, but most of the time it's, you know, I go into this light room. I mean, it's hard to describe, but most of it, they won't let me see beyond that. They said that I won't come back, or I won't want to come back.
Well, it's you're not meant to. You got to stay in school, right? Whether you like it or not. Complete the courses,
see, and they've
right?
actually asked me. They've asked me if I wanted to leave when Trent was born, because I went and had a C-section, and I'm like, are you nuts? I have a new baby, you know? And now I'm like, okay, well, so when do I get a go, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
I take the visitor's pass and work on the astral projection. There's so much you can look at and learn from. Just online, there's so much. But try rewatching Surviving Death just to give yourself a little reminder that.
That's true.
You know,
I do forget.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. But the thing is, it's important that you remind yourself now, because, you know, as we were saying, the more you get wrapped up in the negative emotions, it blocks your ability to get the messages. You know, it's almost like you're walking with your head down and you need to look up, you know what I mean? It's and we all go there, but this is part of the learning, you know, and life is for learning. This is why you're here. Mm-hmm.
And take Bixby as a sign from the other side, as I didn't know who that was. So
that
somebody over there.
That's definitely a big sign, because it was really annoying me.
Yeah. Linda's kind of amazing that way.
Yeah. You guys are all amazing. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy that I found you and all of you. And I hope you know how much you help people.
Yeah. It's not a coincidence, Nikki. Like we were, you know, and that's why we've got that little convo going on Facebook. If you need us, like we're there. There's always somebody up at all hours of the day. So, there's somebody always on call here. That's quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
So Nikki, do you mind if we move on to our next caller? Do you feel better? Yeah. If we're always here, like you just need to write to us or connect with us through the text, okay? You're perfectly all right. There's nothing wrong. You're perfectly normal. And grief does that, Stephen King wrote very wisely that grief is like a drunken house guest, always coming back for one more goodbye hug. And it'll get you. But just remember, this too will pass. It's not permanent. It's a temporary situation. And you're allowed to have, and just work on gratitude. If you can find the gratitude in the journey, the thing is you had Trent for 13 amazing years, right? And that what a great soul he is. Like he made a soul contract to come to Earth in the condition that he was to bring light and to teach us compassion. That's a lot to sign up for. I'm grateful for people like Jaden and Trent.
He definitely, there's people that I didn't even know that he affected their lives. There's cancer patients that messaged my husband and said that he thought about giving up until he started following Trent's story. And he, fought so hard to stay alive so many times that he didn't give up because of Trent. He said that.
See? Now just multiply those thoughts. And remember that there's a lot to be grateful for. There's a lot of pain, but there's, if you can find the love, go back into the light of the love that was behind Trent coming to Earth at all. What a loving act he did, and what a loving person you are. If you didn't love him so much, it wouldn't be as painful as it is. So, there's nothing wrong with you, Nikki. It's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love all of you guys. You guys are
amazing. Love you right back, Nikki.
Yep.
Okay, hon. Listen, we'll be in touch. You know how to find us, okay?
Okay,
lovey. Okay. So we've got 651 on the line. Is this Christiana by any chance?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we're 100% guessing, but there you go. That's great.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Okay.
I just wanted to know about. I'm pregnant about 5 months, and I named her Lily, and I just wanted to know about, how she's doing in there and how things are going to be, if she's going to be with us permanently. My mother and I had some problems with CPS with my son, so I just worried that would repeat itself. So...
What's the condition? I'm sorry, I'm not... The trouble you were having? Yeah, you said they had a lot of trouble with...
I had trouble with CPS with my son.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping that they won't permanently take her away. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to do everything right for her, for Lily. But I was just wondering what you all see surrounding that, if she'll stay with me and Mom permanently.
I just don't understand why you think they would take her away.
Well, I don't exactly think that. I have a fear. Maybe it's irrational.
I feel it's an irrational fear. I mean, you're in your 20s, 30s?
No, I'm almost, I'm 38.
Yeah, I don't see, I mean, unless somebody would say that you were abusive, right? Why would they even be, somebody would have had to call in order for that to happen, I would think. So
It's mandatory that they do because of something I did as a juvenile. It's still following me around, and they have to call them.
As soon as you have a baby, they have to call them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
CPS.
They did it with my son.
Huh?
Yeah, CPS is Child Protective Services you're talking about,
services.
Right?
Right.
I just looked up
right.
Medical condition CPS. That's what I thought we were talking about. So it's not a medical condition. It's a bureaucratic, a fear of the bureaucrats. Yeah.
I mean, how long ago was that when you had your last child?
I think it's been like 10 years, maybe longer, about 10 years.
I mean, I personally don't get anything of an issue.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else does, but I think that, in fact, I feel that when you were a juvenile, you could probably look into getting that expunged off your record if you try.
I agree,
And it won't
it's
follow you.
It's not something that I know. It's not something that I can get. No.
Oh.
I can't get it expunged.
Okay. A felony. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel anything at this point that there's anything wrong with the baby or that anything like that's going to happen. But, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but at this point, I don't see anything like that.
I know. Okay.
Well, what I'm feeling, and this is Linda, what I'm feeling is it's a new arrangement, a new day, love will find a way. In other words, whatever the circumstances were before, it's not going to be the same. This baby has a lot of strong energies, and I can feel both male and female there. So, very, very protective of itself and you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I would just concentrate on the positive. Go ahead, Lynn, sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay, Tony. I was just looking up the meaning of the card I pulled up here.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
No, that's all I had. I would just concentrate on the positive is what I would take all those bad thoughts out.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. So the Two of Swords upright is a card of meditation and not action. They're asking to look inward rather than outward. And that kind of makes sense in that you're still carrying a trauma forward and you're still giving these people, the CPS people, not to say that what they do is not good work and necessary work, but the thing is, this is an old trauma that you're carrying with you into the future. The person that you were when the trouble started, you're not that person anymore, right? And you know that. They will know that. And I think, too, it's interesting that Linda's picking up both male and female energy. Because it feels like your son is also like part of this whole journey. Like I think that's the male energy that we're picking up here. So it's like a healing is going to happen. But do the inside work and see if you can't heal yourself from that old trauma. It's an old wound. And this is a fresh, you need a fresh start with this situation, right? It's old energy. And yeah. You don't need to carry that anymore, right? And don't forget, whatever it was that happened to cause the situation, that was a learning experience for you. It was just part of the Earth School. It doesn't mean you were bad or, you know. Maya Angelou, that lovely, lovely woman, said, when you know better, you do better. And she should know because she came from a really rough start and turned herself into this bright light. So, you know, you're not that person anymore. And you're not bad, you know, and you never were, and you've learned and you've become a different person. So try to heal that trauma if you can. Do you know who I mean by Gabor Mate? I think it's Mate, the psychologist.
No.
Okay. It's GABORMATE. He's all over the internet, and he wrote a book called The Myth of Normal, okay? And he talks a lot about trauma and healing trauma. He's a very, very good teacher, and he might be somebody that can help you. So just type him in search, and there's tons of his material out there. He's an incredibly compassionate soul, and I think that might help you a little bit too. Just to sort of get rid of that, because you're thinking this bad thing happened in the past, and you're like, oh my God, it's going to happen again, and you're sort of almost, not that you're doing anything wrong, but you might just be creating the situation again with the thoughts. So just remember, it's the past, you know, and you can leave that in the past and be the amazing person you are now. You have changed, you know.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just reminding you of stuff you already know, Christiana, you know?
Yeah.
Anybody have any thoughts, any last thoughts?
For some reason, I keep hearing the song over and over again. I don't know if you like the song or not, but Tesla did a song, I believe it was Tesla, called Love Will Find a Way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be song to reinforce yourself with, if you can hear that on Spotify or wherever.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's definitely a message coming through. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love is a good healer for you right now, just especially to give it to yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You're worthy of love. You always were, even when you were going through the weird stuff that you know, went down.
Yeah.
You're still worthy of love. You're still a beautiful soul.
Mm-hmm.
And you are loved. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
So try to do some meditation towards a positive outcome, because we do, you know, we do create. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
It's lovely to talk to you, and just contact us when you need to, okay?
Okay, I'm going to just listen to the show.
Okay.
Okay,
we'll move on here to 415. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Yeah, hey, it's Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
How are you doing? Yeah, how's it going?
I'm good. I actually, just to give you an update from last week, I did hear back from that guy.
Yeah.
And it was nothing new. It was just like he just wanted me to confirm that I was still interested, but I was like, I have been interested. I'm just waiting for you to pay. So I was like, just contact me when you actually want to hire me for the event. And it was just left like that. So I have no idea. It's weird. He kind of like gave the impression that he would pay out of pocket for me to teach, and if he wasn't able to get compensated, but I don't know if that was just him saying that because he felt bad, or so it's kind of up in the air. I don't know. It's very strange. So I wanted to touch that. And then the other thing is, wanted to share this other situation with you. So I'm kind of going through a little bit of sadness because I have been taking art classes in this because I'm still like in a new area, and I've been taking these art classes because I love them and it keeps me sane here while I'm like building up things. And I was taking this one class, this jewelry class, and my teacher, is very like passive aggressive and like isn't really nice. Like she's sort of nasty to me, but like with a smile on her face type of deal.
Ew.
And I signed up for a session of classes, but they don't start for 2 weeks. But like last night after I came out of class, I was like up for most of the night, like tossing and turning with such anger that like I let myself get into a situation like this again. And like how one part of me feels like this anger towards her. And then this other part of me is like, well, you have the ability to shift this situation. And like, cause I don't want to give up the jewelry making class. Like I really like it. And I also have like two projects that I'm not even done with. Like I need another class or two to do. And like the side note to this is that I went through a very similar situation to this with another art class I was taking, that the lady was like abusive towards me too. And I decided to like choose myself and be like, I don't need to be around this drama. Like these are other people's issues. Like I don't need to be around this anymore. And I left that class. Even though I liked it, I didn't sign up for it anymore because the lady was abusive. And now, like, this is a couple months later, and, like, here's another one with, like, other issues. And, like, one might say, well, what is it about you that pattern? But, like, I think it's really, like, no matter what, like, it sort of links back to, like, stuff that I had with my parents of, like, if people don't treat you right, like, you have to leave. I do from like taking this class and enjoying this class. And I just kind of feel sad about it. I'm sort of like mourning it a little bit because I'm like, and I actually emailed like the school this time and I was like, you know, this teacher is like ridiculous. Like she did a good job of like ruining the class for me. Like, so, yeah, just, any thoughts you want to share? I mean, I just kind of like holding the for me. It just feels bad. I need my art classes. I love them.
Well, this is Linda, and this seems to be a lesson for you, and take what resonates and leave the rest. So draw what you need to learn from the art classes, but don't let what she has to say affect you. My dad had a thing he used to do. He pretended like on his chest were a bunch of like window blinds, and if somebody started giving him a bad time, he would flip the lever mentally and let whatever that bad stuff was go through him, but not stay in him. And then when they were done, just shut the little blind thing off. He's just showing me that. Let it go through you, but don't keep it confrontational. Don't put up a brick wall. Just take what you need to learn from these classes and just don't let the teacher affect you. It's not personal. It's a thing in their personality. A lot of artists, especially artist teachers, can be like that. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. Just don't take it onto yourself, whatever criticisms and meanness they're doing. Just open your little mental blinds there and let it go through, but absorb the stuff you're learning.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you're saying. And, like, that's what I was doing because I was, like, that was, like, the whole thing for me of, like, I can shift this because it's just, like, ignore her. Like, again, it's her issues. And that's what I was doing with that other teacher. But so this was an 8-week class, and like last week was the last one. So like, so that was week 7 and week 8. I got out of the classes, and I've been feeling so irritated. Like so part of me was like, you know what? keep take another round of classes, because I already signed up. I mean, I could get a refund, which I'm sitting with it for the next couple of days. But I'm like, you know, I was like, just go to the class, learn from her, or like finish your project, learn something new. You like going to the class. Don't let somebody sort of push you out of something that you like. She's the only teacher, you know, it's a small community. It's really pathetic, but like, but then the last two times, like the last 2 weeks, I was like, this is not worth it. Like I go to these classes for joy and instead I'm like having to ignore this or that. And like the class is like super frustrating because I actually do need some instruction from her, but she gives me such a hard time in getting it. She's always like, just go figure it out. And I'm like, I need your help. Like it's, so I'm like, it's not, you know, it's not worth it. Like, don't take these classes. So like, that's where the flip-flop is like to ignore. But then the other thing is like, it's not worth the stress. Like you have enough stuff going on that just like keep choosing joy. So yeah, I that's.
Well, if you're really unhappy, don't feel you can deal with it, then leave and find another place is about all I can tell you. But sometimes it's just lessons to us to be able to take the good out and get rid of the bad. I mean, it was a lot like my husband when he was alive and his mom would make cabbage soup. He hated cabbage. He hated onions. He would pick those out and give them to me and eat the rest. And that's kind of what I'm seeing right now.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Tony, did you want to?
What are the rest of you guys?
I think the same. I mean, if I wanted to take the class, I guess. I feel artists are very, I don't know. I've taken a couple of classes where I felt the same and they didn't want to help. If you don't, if you're not up to speed or catch on, I don't think I would waste, I don't think I'd take the next class from her. I would probably not. I'd probably do something different, but only because I'm an empath, so I get my feelings hurt also very quick. I mean, I don't know if you do, but I do, and it's like if you don't have the time for me, then I'm going to go somewhere else, but I don't think it's going to change. And about the other guy, I feel that this is still – when is it? Is it coming up in April? This thing supposed to happen?
Yeah, it's like April. I think it's like April 10th or something.
Yeah, I still think he's – coming back for more this week. So hopefully money.
Okay.
Hopefully with the money.
That's what I want. Yeah, show me the money. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just say show me the money. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he
that's
will.
What I said to
I think
him.
He's going to show you the money. So, yeah, that's
yay.
My thought. Hey, Lynn, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so Jessica, about that guy, I wrote down the word, I think it feels like I wrote this down last time, you called disorganized. It feels like he's just, he does not have his life, his act together. And so the thing is, although this may come through, I wouldn't like hang from a rope waiting for this guy to get it together. Do the class, teach the class if it comes through. But I wouldn't give him power, you know what I mean? Like, I don't give your power away to this person. They're not bad or evil, but they're just, you don't want to get caught up in that chaos because you're going to be dangling, you know. So whatever he gives you, as long as he pays you, do it. But as I say, don't give him a bunch of power over your course. Yeah, he feels like he needs to sort of pull his socks up a bit and not pull other people into the disorganization, you know. I don't think he means to do it. He's just sort of like, I don't know, he needs to, there's an energy he's missing. I can't really explain it. The art class, the teacher, it's not personal. I think everyone told you that. It feels like both with this guy that you're negotiating the work with and the art teacher, they may have different personalities, but it feels like you're pulling the lessons in that you personally need. Like it's not personal. They're just saying, here's a thing that you could work on while you're here on Earth. And so this person, like, I feel like there's a bitterness that she, you know what they say, like people who can do it, or those who can't do it teach, which is not fair because teachers are amazing. But it feels like this art teacher has a slight bit of bitterness in helping others get to a place where she may have felt she'd missed. I'm not sure what it is. It's like a bitterness on her part.
Jealousy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, she doesn't want to see everybody else succeed where she feels she hasn't succeeded. And it also feels a little bit like she blames external sources for what she calls a failure. It's not a failure for anyone. But it's like, it feels like there's a bitterness there and it's being projected onto you. Did other students have the same problem?
See, that's what's like so, and also just to confirm what you're saying, what kept coming to me was the word sabotage. Like from week after week, it just seemed like she kept sabotaging me. Like she would not help me. And then she would say something like, again, this is my first time taking this class. I don't know how to do anything. I need guidance and teachings. And she would make like ridiculous, like, comments like, it's okay if it's difficult, you could just keep doing even though it's difficult. And I'm thinking to myself, it's difficult because you're not teaching me, you're giving me a hard time whenever I'm asking you help for stuff or to show me how to do something. Like she would show me how to, like, she would say something would be okay, like, because I was making these rings that I would set crystals like and build the ring around it, and she would tell me like, okay, yeah, it's good to set it now, which means like setting the stone. And then like the next week, she would look at the ring because I would ask her a question. She goes, it looks like you could have, the ring is like too low. Like it's not set right. And I'm like, that's why I asked you. But like, I was asking you for help because it wasn't looking right to me either. And this like happened week after week. So I'm like, you know, this lady is just making it way more difficult for me. What was bothering me last night was like, I noticed that it's sort of like a, you know, you're talking about don't give away your power. Like I still have a little bit of this thing going on that like when someone says something obnoxious to me, I like sort of trying to put me in a lower power position or something, put me, you know, take my power or something. I could have said to her, hey, it's difficult because you're not helping me or because you're telling me one thing one week and then the next week you're like dissing my project that I didn't do it right when that's the whole reason why I asked you. But it doesn't come to my mind right away. And it's definitely a pattern that I had. Like you get it from childhood. So I was like, you know, maybe like last night originally I was thinking maybe you want to take this next series of classes, which is just former classes, because it's like, take back your power from that, you know, B word. Mm-hmm. I was like, take back the power from that. You can do this. Don't let, you know, learn to speak up like in the moment, because she's the one while you're having issues. But then after last night, when I was like tossing and turning, I was like, I don't think this is worth the stress because I'm like taking care of all these different areas of my life. Like this is something I don't need to be micromanaging or getting my lessons through. I pretty much have concluded where I am with that, but I just, you asked me the question if other people like her and stuff like that. And that's the thing. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Have you thought about looking things up on WikiHow, WikiHow, or on YouTube videos? They do a lot of free tutorials on YouTube videos that might answer some of the things that you're not getting answers from for her.
Yeah.
Well, so that's like the newest addition, is that she's telling me to do research on my own, which totally defeats the purpose of me being in class and having her there. And like that's the new thing that she's telling me, just to go and, you know, go do the study myself. But to answer Lynn's question, like, yeah, other people, she gets along fine with other people. And I'll tell you the reason why. They come into class and they'll listen to her talk about her jewelry. They'll listen to her. They'll kind of fawn over her stuff and flatter her.
Okay.
They'll sit there and chit chat about nonsense. And I'm not there to chit chat. We have just a few hours to do art. I'm there to do art, not to like be friends with this lady and talk for like hours on end. So
yeah
they like her.
That's okay.
And she likes them.
Yeah, because again, we look at her, she's a little ego involved probably, and she's probably needing that attention, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You're not, so just notice the lesson contained in the experience that this is a talent, like it's Christ attunity, right? It's not a bad thing that's happening. It's something to help you learn as your soul needs it. I was going to add to the wiki how to, there's a great site called Instructables that you can learn just about anything. And these are great sites, you know, just to do your own learning as well. But it's not worth it. It's not worth the headaches that, you know, the conflict with this person. So both the disorganized guy that is offering or is not offering work or whatever is going on with him, and the teacher, it's, you know, I use the metaphor of the pearl. That grain of sand that's irritating is being, you know, turned into a pearl for you. Just, you know, take them as learning experiences. These lessons are offered to us. And if you can say thank you for this lesson, and it'll help you grow. You have a choice. You can stay bitter and angry at, you know, how people are, but we can't control others ever. You can drive yourself nuts trying, right? But you can't change this art teacher. Her personality is what it is. And, you know, you're going to butt heads because you're not going to fawn over her stuff. You could act and fake it if you wanted to, but you're not that type of personality, right? You're just, and you know what? I have a feeling she's not the only art teacher on the planet. You know, it might be good for you to find a teacher that you're more compatible with, and not try to hammer at a door that won't open here, you know, because, yeah, like, why bother? Move on and do your art and enjoy it. That's the thing, art for its own sake, to give you the joy of creation in your soul. That's what art is for, you know, and it's completely uniquely yours, right? Find the there is a teacher out there who won't drive you bonkers that way, I'm sure. I just feel it. You know, have a look. Even online courses, if that's your bag, you know. But,
well, I will say I am taking another art class, and I love my teacher. She's amazing at what she does. And I have told this other lady that her work is good, too, but I'm not going to have a conversation with her about it every single week.
no. That's fine. That's very honest of you.
Yeah. I mean, I do have another class I'm taking now, and I do really enjoy my teacher, and she lets me just do what, like, she lets me just do whatever I want and assist when I need help. I mean, I don't need as much help in that class, but I don't really need any help in that class, but, yeah, I'm going to let it go. I mean, that's one big, I mean, I learned a lot of lessons. You guys spoke to me a lot when I was going through my moves and living in crazy places. And, you know, I'm still not 100% settled with where I'm living now, although I have been in the same place, which is okay, for almost a year now. But I learned that, like, what's really coming, what's really, I guess the thing is, like, driving home for me is that, or is that the thing? I don't know. Is that when these situations come up with people, I exit them rather than sticking in things that don't feel good. And, like, that's what I used to do before. That's how I again, was like programmed to be. It's like you just drudge through things you don't like, and that's like normal because, hey, I'm taking an art class, but it's like, no, just that's it. I'll have to wait until another instructor appears or, you know, sit with my half-done projects and, I don't know, just let it be, yeah. You know, choose myself rather than the art class or rather than, yeah, it's just disappointing, you know. I mean, I thought it would be different this week, but it wasn't.
You pretty much figure
you know, time to move on.
But it'll work out, you know, like you can you decide how much time you're going to spend, as I said, hammering at a door that won't open, or you can go, I think I'll try another door, you know. There's always going to be another option for you. You're not ever stuck. So that's, you know, it's a weird place to be on Earth, you know. It's a very dense energy. And we had been talking about astral projection, and once you feel the lightness of the other dimensions, it's almost hard to come back to Earth and go,
yeah.
Oh, here I am again. But you know what? Enjoy the ride, okay? Enjoy your art and enjoy your abilities, because I get a feeling that you've got a lot to offer the world, and that. Just enjoy it and do it because it feels good. And don't worry about other people. You know, you keep your power and, let it roll. Does Tony or Linda, do you have anything to add? We're almost at the end of the show, so I want to make sure we get all the thoughts in there.
My dad had another saying, too. If it doesn't serve you, get rid of it.
Yep.
That's my motto.
Very simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's simple and clean advice, and it works. Yeah. You got to listen to Linda's dad. He knew what was going on, and he's a cool guy in the spirit and in the physical. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you're talking about once you feel the higher realms and it feels difficult coming back here or what. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, I mean, I think that it's actually shifting here when I'm talking to you, because it's like, it's just really a proud moment. Like, once you start feeling like, as far as like in this realm, once you start having like positive experiences, you want more and more of that. It feels really awful when you have an experience, you meet someone that you're not aligned with or has some issues or what, you know, you don't have time for that. That's it.
Yep.
And I think that's probably like the main lesson here for me is like, you see how much you've changed. Like, you lived your life tolerating people and situations and sometimes realizing it, sometimes not realizing it. And now you see it right away. You're like, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do it. And there's no reason to do it because I already know where that led me. It wasn't good, you know?
That's good. No, it sounds like you're doing really well in the Earth School. It can be a real pain in the wazoo, but, you know, it's also like a blessing to be able to attend this school. It's soul's growth, you know, it really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. I'm glad that I was able to just kind of chat with you guys about it just to move the energy. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Jen. Sure. You're a lovely soul, Jessica. It was really fun talking to you. You're so smart.
Yep.
You do know what you're doing. So keep going. Keep shining that light.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have
some of the things you said to me up on my wall, Lynn.
Oh,
the last time you were giving me some flattery that I liked, and I put them on post-it notes, and I put them up. Thank you. It's really impactful.
Cool. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jessica. And we're sending you all kinds of love. And call back when you want to talk again. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Happy Sunday.
Yep. Bye.
Okay. We're just about at the end of the show, so I'm going to run around the table. Linda, where can people find you?
I'm Lindero at living.ai, the emo place. I'm on Spreaker under Linda Irwin, several shows under there. And you can also find me on YouTube, the yellow smiley face with the headphones.
Perfect. And Tony?
Yep, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and what else?
Instagram and TikTok, and at Tony KJ or Tony Jorgensen, or you can find me on Enter the Light. And I do have a website. It's TonyTheGoodWitch@wixsite.com.
Cool. I'm Lynn Bleasdale. You can find me at lbleasdale.wixsite.com/Lynn. You can find the entire Sacred Embers team at sacredembershow.wixsite.com/love. Our sister shows are Mondays. It is Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality with Catherine Peoples and DC Love. I think that starts at 9 o'clock, but you can always check by going to blogtalk.com/sacredembers. That brings up all our shows, past and future. And then Wednesdays we have Angel Answers, and that's DC Love, Jan Drake Bakke, Peg Jones, Catherine Peoples, Liz Pfister, and Mary Hernandez. And I hope I haven't missed anyone. That's quite a lovely team there. And
yeah, Bridging the Gap hasn't been on since February, so I don't
know.
Oh,
you're kidding. Oh.
No. So I think it's just Enter the Light right now and Angel's Answers. Angel Answers.
Well, Mary Hernandez also has a show on Mondays, usually about 1 o'clock on Eastern. It's called We Are One, and she has some pretty interesting guests on. But she does them as Facebook. No, she does them as Zoom, Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she
I think they're
the,
on our site, though, right? They're on the Facebook page.
Yeah, all the old recordings are. And she's got some really interesting guests on. So you can either go to Mary Hernandez on Facebook or the Sacred Embers page. And these are all on there. You can watch the past ones. So there you go. I want to, instead of music, I'm going to close with a really interesting clip. I can't remember which show we were doing. It might have been Divine Connections. But anyway, I was working with Jan Drake Bakke, and she had a really interesting encounter with lion energy. So I'm going to play that to close out the show. Oh, and we won't be on next week because it's Easter Sunday, and we're just all going to take a break and go eat chocolate rabbits and enjoy the new
poor
energy
rabbit.
Coming in. Yeah, really. There's that cartoon where there's just two rabbits going, my butt hurts. What?
Yeah.
Because they've had their tail eaten and their ears eaten. Never mind, it's a visual. But anyway, this is an encounter with that happened with Jan when she was doing a reading for a caller. And it's kind of fun. I just thought I'd repeat it. So love and light to you all. What a great team. We missed Jessica this week, but hopefully in 2 weeks' time, we'll be all back together. Love and light, you guys. Thank you. I love working with you.
Before acting rather than moving ahead impulsively and recklessly. And when faced with a tough decision, follow your heart rather than what you think you should do. So that's basically the message of the lion. And
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. Yeah.
Am I nuts, or did I just hear a lion roar? No, I'm not joking, you guys. Nobody heard that, eh?
I heard it, Lynn, I heard it. I thought you were doing something with the...
I thought that was you. Wow, that
was
weird.
Are you kidding me?
I heard a lion roar.
Lynn,
yeah,
I did too. I thought you were doing something.
No.
I thought you were like...
I had enchiladas for dinner? No, I heard a lion roar just now. Okay, let's carry on. That's exciting. We'll play it back and see if it comes up.
Okay. Yeah, see if it comes up. Exactly. That is bizarre. No, you know what, Karen? It is. It's wonderful. Karen, you're bringing in, you've got lion energy so powerfully around you, it even made a roar. Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, that's fabulous. Yeah.
Well, how amazing.
It makes sense because I've always